Hi everyone, this is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is July 21st, 2015. Now, for all of you that are new to my radio show program, please, you can access archives as well as this current radio show every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Station 2. We also have a blog that runs 365 days a year that can provide you a smattering of information on a daily basis, just to give you a good finger on the pulse of what's going on the planet through the eyes of what is happening through awareness and through a positive filter. We are making progress, and we want to make sure that you have access to that kind of information to expose the lies and the corruption, and also see the type of action that's being taken across the world. Now, we also are very, very renowned for our implant removal series, which is the implant removal number one, the soul alignment number two, and the DNA activation number three. Please access those pages on the website. You will see them. There's a button up on the upper left-hand column, and that gives you a plethora of information. Now, we also have introduced some new products and services. We have the new Past Life Clearing, which is just amazing. Talk about cleaning your plate. Wow. I mean, really cleaning up a lot of loose ends. So go ahead and check that out. And we will be shortly notifying you of launching the temple classes, which Jerry and I will be announcing very shortly, just so you know. I know a lot of you are waiting for that. We're just kind of running around with our heads cut off. It's been insanely busy here. I don't know about what you guys are feeling. You can really feel this big wave of energy that has already begun to penetrate our solar system. And it's really impacting those of us that are doing our bit for the light. Not only are we passing on information to our loved ones, but we ourselves are doing an immense amount of clearing. You're going to notice right now that those that haven't done a lot of work on themselves are really struggling. They are not liking these energies as much as we are, and that's because nothing can escape the light. So, you know, when you're around people that are really struggling and having a difficult time with that, remind them that this is just a temporary situation where they're being, you know, basically, don't you love the sirens? Where they're being basically reminded to go within. And this is something that's really missing in mainstream society, is really taking the time to spend time with yourself, not just with the TV, not just having a beer, not just being at a party or working nonstop. It's very important that we spend time with ourselves. So there's a huge, huge call for that right now, to take an inventory and really review whatever it is that we're getting triggered. If there's anything else left that we're being triggered by, then we know that it's time for us to work on that and clear it out. I mean, we're all going through this. That no one out there is immune to this process. And if you're not having that experience as much as others, it's because you've just done a lot of work. You're ahead of the game. And this wave of energy is so enormous and just going to get more intense. So all of us are being called to really stand strong and stand tall. You know I've alluded to this before, but we really are being called to get our boots on and get ready. I mean, this is a time when the least expected situation can occur. We think we know what's going to happen. We think we know about the event. We think that there's something happening in the middle of August on. You know, so many of us are receiving messages, including myself, that a major amount of activity is going to start occurring probably either the end of July even, all the way up through October. And this is because the wave of energy has already started to penetrate our planet. And as those of us who do a lot of planetary work continue to do our work, continue to do the clearings, the very massive ceremonies and clearings that some of us do, because we're doing that to lift the load for Mother Earth, but also for all the people out there that don't have the tools in their toolbox to be able to do it themselves. We're really, really making a huge difference, and it's speeding things up even more so. It's allowing more of the light to penetrate not only the planet, not only Mother Earth, but all of us, not just those that are at a certain evolution point. So I just, again, you know, I'm kind of big on acknowledging all of you guys out there, healers and practitioners and people that are just passing on the information to their loved ones. They think that that's like no big deal, and it's huge, because there is such a exponential law. You know, two people talk to two more people who talk to two more people. This is how we make changes on, you know, this is the grassroots level. And everything, I just keep hearing this over and over again, everything is on the ground floor. I mean, there's just more and more and more focus coming to the ground zero place where we all are. So, you know, on a one hand, how exciting is that? We've been waiting for this for a really, really long time, and we've been working on this for a really, really long time. So, you know, I just ask all of you, I've been getting some emails where things are really getting really intense for you physically, and I kind of want to go over that. I have a ton of stuff to go over, and because I've been so busy, I haven't been able to even take the time to set up any interviews, so I apologize for, I've had some replays and, you know, just kind of MIA for a while because I went to East SETI and we were gone a total of 12 days because we had to drive up there. We had so much to carry. So with that explanation, I kind of want to start and explain some really cool stuff with all of you. I think this is a story that you're going to really enjoy. I think it's something that's so pertinent for what's going on. It really, really reflects where we are in that conflict between the light forces and the dark forces at this time. And I want to remind everyone, no matter who you speak to, whether they say it's 6% left or they say it's 10% left of the dark forces on the planet, I want to remind you all that these are the best of the best of the dark that are left. Don't forget that. We've removed a lot of the support team on their part, but we really need to keep in mind that this is their cream of the crop, so to speak. And we have to stay strong. We have to stay vigilant. As much as we feel a lot of the light and the uplifting energies, it's so important for us to make sure we stay grounded with Mother Earth. Sticking with Mother Earth is one of the most important things. It makes you stronger. It makes you more rooted. It makes you less kind of flim-flam, you know, if the energies get too intense emotionally and even mentally. You know, it's just such an important ingredient for your strength as a light worker and a light warrior, whatever name you want to call it. I don't get hung up on the name stuff. I think, you know, there's a lot of good intentions behind the name light worker. So anyway, emissary of light, if you want to use that. But anyway, I have a story to tell you. So do yourself a favor, grab a cup of tea, because you're in for a treat. This is an extremely interesting story. It's all about our experience as we prepared and got up at East SETI. And I've even received permission from quite a few of the people that were involved to make sure I wasn't stepping on any toes to share this with all of you. So with that said, I'm going to start out with giving you a little bit of a heads up. I received a call from Kevin Annette, as many of you are aware of him. No matter what your opinion might be of this gentleman, the number one thing that you will feel when you're around him is his absolute, you know, non-exhaustive dedication to exposing the mistreatment, the torture, and the sacrifice of children. I mean, that is just like his number one goal. He is literally on fire to do that. And it is such a core ingredient to our entire planet's energy system. So if you think about our energy system, and you look at our chakras, and you look at our meridians, and maybe you look at our cells, and the way that we handle magnetism, I really do feel that this is such a weighing down of Mother Earth herself. The fact that that which is new to life, beautiful, pure, pristine energy that's coming into a soul, incarnation, is being used for such horrific situations. So if you can kind of think of it in that way and look at it energetically, it's just a very, very important thing for us to stop. You know, wipe that part of society's ongoings out completely. So Kevin and I had discussed some interesting, you know, locations on the planet. For example, we were very much guided, both of us individually without even speaking to one another, to the northwest of the United States as well as Vancouver. And little did I know that that message that had come in, oh, I'd say 3, 4, 5 months ago, I don't remember anyway, it was a while back. And I received a lot of, you know, what you could call downloads about, hey, this is really important. There's some mission percolating for you to take care of when you go up to this location of the United States and possibly southern Canada. And, you know, we just kind of want to give you a heads up. It's a key place that needs a lot of focus and help. I totally forgot about it. You know, I know that when it's my time to go and do some things for the planet, I will get the call. So about a year ago, a very close friend of mine, Joseph Tahali, gave me a ring, and we hadn't spoken in quite some time, and he and his wife are just phenomenal, outstanding people. I can't say enough good things about them. They're really like salt of the earth. And Joseph mentioned the East SETI engagement for this year and invited me to be a speaker. And I said, oh, I'd be really honored to do that. That'd be great. And so we talked about, you know, what we wanted to accomplish, and that was that. And then all of a sudden, you know, it came around the month of April or May, and I started freaking out because I realized I was totally not prepared for this conference. I knew I had a gazillion things to do to get prepared. And, you know, we were going to have a table there, and, you know, I wanted to make sure I had my essences to come up with me. And, you know, so it was an immense amount of work. I cannot begin to tell you. And that on top of the workload that I already have, as you guys know, I work a lot of hours. And so the 60 days or so before I left to go up to East SETI were really crazy and insane. And that's on top of, you know, just the excitement that I'm seeing in the transformation amongst all of you that have been using our services and our products. You know, that's like taken off like a meteor. And I thank you for that, by the way. But, you know, it's just been a very crazy, ongoing, you know, just exponentially rapid increase in intensity and focus and, you know, okay, here's the end game. You know how I say that. So what happened was we got ready and we realized that we had to drive. We just had too much stuff. There was no way we were going to fly up there. And so we decided that all of us from Galactic Connections would go. And that was Jerry and Steve and Romeo and myself. And I do have other volunteers that assist, but the four of us that are local, we all decided to go. So we drove up there and it was amazing. But here's the thing, okay? Before we left, I started recognizing that there was some interference coming up. And I thought, you know, wow, there must be something really big that's about to happen up in East SETI. I thought maybe it's just because I was about to speak very openly about what was accomplished in South Africa in a big way. You know, I had put together a very good PowerPoint presentation, and I had pictures finally, and you know, I thought, you know, hey, wow, I'm really going to blow the lid off of what was really accomplished there. But just to give you an idea, first thing, our radiator blew in the car that we were going to take. So, you know, that was like $500 to fix. And then we got our tires rotated for the trip, and they took one look at them and said, there's no way you can drive that many miles safely. I wouldn't recommend it, especially if you're going to have a really loaded car all the way up there and all the way back. So we had to buy new tires. So there was another $550 or whatever. And then maybe 2 to 3 days before we left, my dogs got out and they ran across the street. And a truck was coming down the street, and Steve took one look at my dog Harley and he said he was almost run over. So he ran out to save my dog, and he literally ended up getting hit by the front bumper of this truck, and he got thrown. And of course he was hurt and injured and in a lot of pain. And so that was a lot of fun. And this is just days before, like, we have to load the car and, you know, all this luggage and everything else. You know, I'm thinking, okay, what is this really all about? So anyway, because of the healings and because of the systems that we have, we were able to get Steve in really good shape. I mean, he was pretty much pain-free within 3 days. And that was amazing because he literally had lines, like literally the grill lines on his belly from the truck hitting him so hard on his stomach. So can you guys believe this? I still can't believe it. Now, once we got up there, there was a lot of hullabaloo going on with the military. And I know that for those of you that follow James' website and follow what's been going on with him, you know, we hear a lot about him really being under fire up in that region, and he can't figure out, like, you know, why are they targeting him? Why are they targeting this ranch? I mean, literally, it's in the middle of, you know, this very bucolic area, you know, beautiful grass meadows and open fields and farms and all the stuff. I mean, it's really way out away from the city. And, you know, you're sitting there thinking, why are there so many chemtrails in the sky? I mean, that was the first thing I thought to myself. And they were busy when we got up there. I mean, busy. So I thought, okay, well, maybe they're trying to prevent us from seeing a show, you know. But then we went, you know, we had our conferences and our engagements, and we had meetings and we had Q&As, and, you know, I mean, it was extremely busy. And we had a great, great showing. I think there was 160 people or something up there. And just a fantastic time. I mean, the people were just outstanding, especially even the people that provided the food. They were really special, too. And at one point, we all went out. We did the UFO Skywatch. And we went out there and sat and watched, you know, gosh, we probably saw probably up to 40 to 50 different ships, you know, UFOs in the sky. At one point, I wasn't there, but James and Stephen were mentioning that they had 4 power-ups in one day. So there's a lot of activity, and James did film this. I think he's put it up on his website. If he hasn't done it yet, he probably will soon. And there were about 25 ships that showed up that night even. But that was pretty much it. But we started noticing that there was a lot of activity. Now, for those of you that didn't check out the eSETI, the people that were actually speaking there, you had myself, and then you had Jerry Yesko, who's my fellow partner and healer, and Stephen Metters, who was also discussing galactic wave technologies. You had Laura Legere and Michael Alesian, who are very much involved in the corruption and the local level goings on, like with judges and child protective services, you know, and things like that. So you had them showing up. Then you had Winston Shrout and his wife, and Winston is really trying to provide people an individual way in which to finally figure out how to reach sovereignty within this maniacal matrix. And for those of you that may not be aware, we are really considered an enemy of the state, especially when we speak out against it. And this is because we're just not aware of what our rights are. And so Winston has put together an immense amount of information on how do we assist ourselves in becoming sovereign, not really being an enemy of the state any longer, and how much freedom you get by doing that legally and safely, etc. So you had that element, okay? And then you had another woman named Rebecca, and she has been very successful in working with city council and town council, the absconding of funds, and been able to expose these people and the way in which they manipulate and operate to get the funding that they need to just keep taking care of themselves, but not the citizens within that city. So you had that element going on. You know, and of course, we brought in the sovereignty from the implant removal and, you know, the three-part series, implant removal series. So I was like, wow, I could see what was going on. And then you had Randy Kramer, who's otherwise known as Captain K. And I ended up having an opportunity to interview him once. I'm hoping he and I are hoping to do another interview shortly. But he is with the Earth Defense Force. And basically, you know, he spent 17 and a half years on Mars as a super soldier. And he has come forth discussing the special section of the United States Marine Corps that works with the secret space fleet. Now, just keep that in mind, okay, because this all fit into place. I mean, there was this grand, bigger plan by the light playing out, unbeknownst to all of us. So that's just to name a few. And then you had a few others that were just fascinating speakers. And I don't mean to eliminate them from this talk, but I just kind of wanted to give you a flavor of the types of people, their information, and the topics that were being presented to all of us. Okay, so basically we all shared, many of us shared one house together and really got to know, you know, our passions and our desires of how we wanted to serve the planet and what did we feel was missing, where do we think we need to go from here. And as many of you have heard, the dark is very organized. They've had their plans in existence literally for thousands of years, according to many of those who've come from the Illuminati bloodline, who are very well versed in the way that they operate and how incredibly planned out they are, I mean, to the final detail. And the one thing that's always been missing amongst the light and the groups of light operations that are out there is that we're kind of fragmented and we're not super networked. We're not really all on the same page, even though we are, but you know what I mean. So, you know, we started talking about that, and that remains to be a very cool and percolating project that is coming to fruition. But here's what happened. The whole time I was there, I had this niggling feeling that something really major needed to be done. And I started receiving messages that I could not leave the property until I did a mission. I mean, I literally could not leave there. And it was really interesting how the whole thing unfolded, because I was receiving messages, as was Jerry Yesko, as was Randy Kramer. And the three of us ended up comparing notes. And this is the part that I really want to share that's so interesting. Now, Randy, as many of you know, is a representation of the secret space fleet, but in human form, you know, on ground, okay? And so he is, with his testimonials and with his stories and with his information, and he has an incredible amount of information. I mean, you could just sit there mesmerized for hours listening to what he's gone through. You can definitely tell that there has been a full-blown, aggressive, protective force for planet Earth in space that we've not really been aware of. Okay, now all of you out there who have read up on this, yeah, you've been aware of it. But even I did not recognize to the extent at which we had been so involved in protecting Mother Earth and bringing Mars to a close with all of the hostile forces that were there. And supposedly there were like 5 human colony locations, and, you know, just an immense... In fact, I asked him one night, very late at night, we were talking, and I said, how many times have you gone into battle? And, you know, over that 17 and a half years, and he said that they basically were on, like, kind of what I would call a red alert status, where, you know, that was rung about every 3 days. Now, that's a lot. That's seeing a lot of action, folks. I can't even imagine it, 17 and a half years of that. It's just crazy. So it just really gave me a whole new perspective of what's going on upstairs, and more of an appreciation of the Allied forces and what kind of role they've really played. Because don't forget that we are part of the Allied forces. We're just ground floor. We're just here, ground zero, where all the action is, really. It's just the action up there had to get cleared out so the action down here can take the place that we want it to. So let me see. We were talking about how this whole thing transpired and how does he operate, and he's very big on not using the word psychic, but rather the word psionics, and he has a whole bunch of information on that. I'm not going to go into that in great detail or anything, but, you know, his whole point is he has now worked with the U.S. Marine Corps, special section, okay, secret section, to assist. And what I realized was he is not only a whistleblower, but he is basically creating a bridge between those of us who are receiving all of these messages from the etheric, from our, you know, whether, I don't like to channel, but from those of us that receive messages from our guidance. It was very, very interesting what took place. And this is why I feel this was such an important interview to share this with you. He really provided that bridge in bringing this home into a 3D reality. So I want to explain how this all unfolded. I woke up one morning and I just really felt something terribly wrong was going on up there. And I think that since I finally came up and saw them, and I'd always wanted to go to East SETI. I mean, everybody raves about it when they go up there. I really didn't realize how much they were targeting James. And it frankly hurt my heart because of who he is, what he does. I mean, even if it was any fellow human being, I would be very bummed to see this kind of activity going on. And the fact that it's still going on. So the first thing I thought to myself is, why isn't this man receiving more assistance from the light? Now, one of the things that came through was they really want this to be kind of a pivotal point in which it motivates and it inspires those of us on the ground floor level to really start taking action, but networking. Like really creating, you know, really creating a network that we can all work together. And I realized that in one of the messages that came through, James had actually put out a 911 call to those of us literally that were speaking at the conference, because there was something very much in common with a lot of us. I'll go into that in detail a few minutes. But it was fascinating. Once I was able to, after I had my speech and I was able to kind of chill out, and I was talking to a lot of people, and I was watching UFOs one night, and I was really thinking deeply, you know, what is this all about? Really looking at the bigger picture of this, you know how I am. And I realized that this was a lot more than just coming up for a speaking engagement. This was a call for help. And I then realized very strongly that James had put out a call that he just couldn't hold this down by himself anymore. They have targeted him so severely because of what he stands on and what he protects and what he holds. Now, I want everyone to understand that this isn't just an average Stargate. I believe there's about 12 of these on the planet. This is one of the major nodes on the planet. And he is protecting it at all cost, because everybody with the dark, even intrusive forces, they all want this gate. They want it badly. I mean badly. This is one of the keys that unlocks the door for they to be able to really take hold with planet Earth. So it's been very obviously to me once I got up there a real hot spot between a battle between light and dark. I mean, you can just see it when you can feel it. You can just see it and feel it and understand what's going on. The cool thing is those that come up and visit him, all of those of you that are visiting him and bringing your light, you are helping and lightening that load. But honestly, we need more assistance. We need more people to not necessarily have to go up there, but to really tap in and bring this to a stop. And I'm going to share with you in a few minutes. It's kind of mind-blowing to me. I'm still processing it because I've only been home about a week. But, you know, the long and the short of it is I just got off the phone with James after a long talk. And this guy is really doing the best he can, but he's still in human body. And as awesome as he is, you know, he has limitations just like the rest of us. So I call on all the guardians, and I mean seriously, all the guardians, to put your intention to not only build up again the guardian grid, but to send your light, to send a laser beam of light into the Isseti Ranch. And just envision, if you want to look at a map, you can. You don't have to get that detailed, but if you do, pull up the map and, you know, maybe envision it in your mind and really see yourself clearing and cleaning up. And, I mean, this needs to be done on a regular basis, because literally they don't stop up there. They're not stopping. They're giving it all they've got right now. So let me tell you what happened. The message started coming through. It started coming through so loudly that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't ignore it. I couldn't get sidetracked or distracted. I mean, it literally was like, Alexander, stop, you know. And I was told that we needed to do another opening of this gate. And I'm like, whoa, if we open this gate, what's going to happen? So through a lot of communications, and through a lot of comparisons in intel, I mean, this was over the course of days that this happened, you know, because this was such a major operation. It wasn't like you could just go helter skelter in there and just go, oh, wee, you know. It took a lot of organization and planning. Now, here's the cool thing. So first off, you know, we had to get a permission from James, who was all for it. And secondly, we had to see and make sure who would be the major players, because I already know from experience, you have to have, specific DNA. You have to make sure that you're in good physical condition. There's just so many elements to this. And trust me when I say, I know from personal experience that if you are not 100% in your power, if you're not 100% in your authority, you should have no business doing this kind of work. Until such time you get to that place, it's just not something you should be messing with. So with that said, that took a couple of days for that to kind of present itself. Let's just put it that way. And at one point, there was awful lot of drama and dissension that began because everybody wanted to be a part of this. And we knew that that just really wasn't a possibility. Depending on where they were standing, how much they were involved in that kind of thing. What I mean is the military had literally sent in a person, I'm just going to say a person, who was causing a lot of chaos and who, in my opinion, was sent in definitely with the intention to derail this and to cause chaos and also problems amongst us. And I just kind of watched that whole thing. It was very, very interesting. And there's so much intel to confirm that this individual actually did come in to the presentation and the speaker's conference to cause problems. And so I started watching all of that on like the 3D level. Now, on the 5D level, there was all kinds of stuff going on. We started noticing that the military were literally flying over Ysetti Ranch with machine guns. Get that? Machine guns, okay? And their helicopters were flying not that far above the tree line. I mean, I found myself at one point kind of scampering underneath a tree because I didn't want to be seen by these guys because it was that low. I mean, like I could see the guy that was sitting on the ledge of the helicopter. I couldn't believe it. And that started happening more and more as all of us were there. And I think one day he flew by 4 different times. So that was kind of strange. At one point, we saw one of them pour like a reddish liquid, pail of liquid, wondering what was that for. That was really, really strange. And of course, in the meantime, there's just like chemtrails and all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, when we were taking photographs in the evening, we saw very interesting beans that were flying around, and they were shaped like tubes. So I'm not quite sure what they were. They didn't quite look like a ship, but they could have been. I don't know. But we did see a lot of that. And we definitely saw a ton of orbs. I mean, at one point, I think Jerry caught a picture that's just mind-blowing. I'm going to try to post it up on the site where, I mean, there was just a conglomeration of orbs everywhere in this location where you actually do the sky watch. And, there was so much activity there, it was mind-blowing. I mean, to say the least. You can't help but sit there and wonder, what is all of this activity about? Well, I kept looking out on the field, and, they call it a portal and stuff, and I kept looking at this field, and I kept getting messages about something wasn't right and feeling that there were beings escaping coming through one part of it, and this is the gate, actually. So instead of the gate, like if you see Star Trek and, like Deep Space Nine, you'll see the actual Stargate is upright, like this. This Stargate was like this, flat to the ground. But what it was kiltered, kind of like this. It was off kilter. And one part of it was not fully clamped down, which was causing not only an escape of beings that were not really so nice because they were irritated, like no get out, but it was also causing energetic issues and things like that. And so I kept getting more and more messages. So finally, I went and I talked to a whole bunch of people and I said, you know, we need to coordinate this. And I realized I could not leave. I had really received a direct assignment that I could not leave until I got this done. And when I compared notes with Jerry, it was fascinating because I had the laser and I said, this is where I see the gate. And he goes, that's exactly where I see it. Cool. This is where I see that it's sticking up. He goes, that's exactly where I see it. Cool. Okay. And then we're talking about, okay, what are we going to do? And usually they give you information. Every single one of these is different. There is no like manual, okay, you're going to do this for this one and this for this one. Basically, you know, you're on a receive orders basis, so to speak. And this particular one was very unique because it was a five-pointed star. I happened to be standing in the center of the star, which was very unique for me. And I wanted to make sure that we really had this locked down, you know, very strongly. Now, we pulled in Randy, and this is where it gets very interesting. Randy is very left-brained. He will tell you right up front, he will not proceed ahead on anything until he receives intel, and he knows at such time that there is no danger to life, and that, you know, he has to make sure that it's even feasible and that there's a high success, you know, a high percentage of success rate. At what point I said, listen, I don't really care what you get. I've got to do this. You know, I got to do this. I already know that what I'm getting, they're there. They're ready. They're online. So it was really interesting because late at night he called in to his Space Fleet Command. I was sitting in the room with him and he was talking to various military personnel, and even at one point, you know, ended up waking them up in the middle of the night, which is not so welcomed in the military for sure, and said, hey, this is really, really serious. We need to consider this, and here's what I'm getting. So he had them check their intel. Now check this out. Now here Jerry and I, we're getting clearly that Jerry's receiving information that this is, they're demonic and that they're nasty, okay? And he's basically saying, you know, we should just transmute them to the light and send them back to, you know, God or whatever. And I said, nah, I don't know. I'm not getting that. I keep hearing that this is a Pandora's box. And Randy said, well, that's really interesting because the intel that I just received actually stated that there is a, I guess there was like a kind of a tubular cavern in Mother Earth right in that location. And it kind of went down in a tubular fashion, kind of bent like an L, like a backwards L. And I saw that, you know, and I was like, wow, that's just so on the money. And he says it's full of goo and it's about a million years old. And, you know, he was talking about quantum mechanics and how could we actually remove that much goo and liquid, you know, and that's going to take so many hours. And I said, no, you don't leave it up to that. You know, the Allied forces will take care of it. They take care of that part of it. You don't need to get that anal. And I mean, it was just so fascinating to combine forces with the Space Fleet Command. I mean, it was really an honor. I was totally jazzed to be able to experience this. And so between Jerry and Randy and myself, we finally solidified a plan, and we went over it and over it and over it many, many times. And so the plan was we were going to have a five-pointed star, and, you know, it had to be at a particular direction, and then we were going to have an actual pyramid on the outside holding that space to make sure that none of the beams would escape, okay, so that they didn't do any kind of damage to the citizens around the area. And I said, they're not going to escape. I know it's going to be fine, but that's okay. We need to hold that space anyway. So there were a total of 8 of us that ended up doing this. And I do want to honor all of those that participated. So we had Randy Kramer, Michael Legian, Laura Legiers, myself, Jerry Yesko. So we were the core star, and then we had Dakota Pruitt, and we had Nancy McKean, and we had Rebecca, and I'm sorry, Rebecca, I can't remember your last name, sorry. They very much held the space around us, did an excellent job, I might add. And so we were instructed on all kinds of details. We were instructed when and how and all kinds of cool stuff. So after some drama from this particular individual that showed up and literally was sent in my opinion, to derail the whole thing and some other things as well, we went ahead with it the next day. And in the late afternoon, we began the whole thing. Now here, now check this out. For those of you that do planetary work, you're just going to appreciate this. Now, here I am doing my thing, but here is Randy calling in to the Space Fleet Command. And they're like going, okay, thumbs up. You know, we're ready, we're online. And they managed to get 7 ships to hold another space for the vortex. Because what we were going to do is when we opened the Stargate, we were going to release these souls. And they were going to be released in a spiral that was going to flow like this. Okay? And here was the interesting point. What I kept seeing was these beings that looked a bit like Casper the ghost. They didn't look very mean to me. Okay? In fact, all I could hear them doing was screaming and crying. They just wanted to go home. Interestingly enough, Randy ended up getting the same intel. Is that, you know, we could do some sort of quantum mechanics and make sure that we could allow them to return to their original timeline and their original location. And so I said, I'm all for that. So we finally agreed to that. So we released them. That was the first thing we did. And then, you know, that took a while. That was amazing. And one of them, actually a couple, but one in particular, stopped, came back, kind of floated back right into my face and thanked me and just said, thank you. And looked a lot like, you know, an alien face with the really big eyes, but, you know, a soft, but very white, very white. And so that was really cool. And then once I got the okay, then they were going to infuse light into this cavern. And it was like a million-year-old cavern. But what I kept seeing and what Jerry kept seeing, and we saw the same thing, it was amazing, was this was attached to underground military tunnels and bases. And we actually saw military personnel, you know, sitting in front of their computer terminals, monitoring things. And then I saw myself kind of walking down a hallway, and I was looking at all the different types of extraterrestrial beings that were behind bars, basically to show me that they were being imprisoned with some sort of energetic locking device. They could not get out. And they were all different kinds of species, and they were miserable, and they were being experimented on. It was really sad. It's totally disgusting. So we wanted to make sure they got out as well. So we released all of them, and then the light infiltrated that area. And what had originally been told to me is that the western half of the United States would be lit up underneath in these underground bases. So this would make a dent and cause a transformation within the military. So we all went in with the intention that this would assist the military in being able to transform the way in which they see their purpose so that they were more geared to support the citizens of the world, okay, and to be here to truly serve and protect us and not the dark establishment. So that was the main intention of all 8 of us. Okay, so that was being held. Of course, everybody else was online doing this as well. So as the light was penetrating the underground base, you know, we hit like the halfway point to the US, and I said, nope, we got to hold. We got to hold until this goes all the way across the world. So we did that, and it was very cool. And we literally saw all the subterranean tunnels, underground bases, etc. We literally saw this big wave of light hitting all of these military personnel that work beneath the ground. So that was really cool. And then once that was done, there was something extracted again and taken forth. And then the last thing was we had to clamp down the Stargate. At this point in time, we had to keep the Stargate closed because it was still possible for the dark to use it for negative and nefarious uses, unfortunately. So we clamped it down. I saw Ancient Ones coming in, boom, 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 all the way around, holding that space to make sure that that was never again going to be popped open in some way, shape, or form, and, you know, where they could literally release a lot of negative beings and energy and that kind of thing. So the whole entire mission was very successful on my part. Now, that's what I received. But what was really cool is here's Randy, you know, unbeknownst to what I have even said to him, and he dials in and contacts his fleet command, and they said, wow, you know, 100%, 100% secure, 100% successful, and oh, by the way, no beings went astray. And I said, I knew that. And so to have the combination of the fleet command and our command working together, and in fact, this is so cool, his military personnel asked, who are they working with? So we rattled off, you know, Michael wanted the Ashtar Command, I was rattling off the Galactic Federation of Light and the Guardian Alliance. What came back later was that they had contacted all three of them and that everyone was online and ready to go. Now, I don't know how to explain this, guys. It just really brings what we all believe, what we all do, what we're involved in, to a real 3D level. It's just so cool. At one point, I realized that that was the purpose of this mission, was to unify our operations so that it made it more real, you know? So anyway, I just had to share that with you guys. Now, another thing I wanted to share with you too was the disappearance of all of these beings shocked these military personnel. I mean, shocked them. You should have seen the faces. And so this is definitely going to impact the military. The personnel that work for them, it's definitely going to affect them. And I'm pretty sure they're still scrambling to figure out where all of them went. So that's a really good point. Now, I did receive this message without asking from my friend Jeff. And I know you guys know Jeff. He is a great friend of mine, just an incredibly enlightened soul. And he and I are so connected that a lot of times they will come through him to relay a message to me. And this is the message of what occurred at East SETI Ranch. And I have to share this because it's so beautiful. I really think it's going to make you feel as good as it made me. It says, hello, my dear. I went inside today and pulled up some information about the portal you opened at the East SETI event. I have no idea what your intention was or what you were told it would accomplish. So I just opened up and received this information on what it achieved. I'm not sure I understand the meaning of the last paragraph, but I included it anyways. This is what they said. Opening this portal contacted the Universal Brotherhood of Oneness. Now that's capitalized. Okay, so this is a new light faction called the Universal Brotherhood of Oneness, and allowed them to brazenly contemplate how they can be part of our soul achievements. They are not Agarthans, but another vibrant intra-Earth non-human species. Their name was a little unpronounceable, but sounded something like Obthelman, something like that. If anybody has heard of this, please contact me. I would really appreciate it. The Brotherhood states this, quote, "By opening this, it will change the dynamics of how we become one with you. It frees up our abilities to infiltrate your oneness fields and make our hearts expanded within yours. Total absolute harmonic convergence of light. This is occurring now. We will be allowing our full harmonics to converge with you, dissipating the frequency matrices that do not serve our unfoldment with you. Your high heart abilities will be concentrated upon realizing this expansion. This is how you will stair step into the brazen fields we want for you to employ. As ambassadors, we frequently match to your harmonics so that your special opportunities will unfold magically. This is our heart realizing yours. We welcome this love expansion," unquote. And he says, another aspect from the opening of this was there now is a slight variance to how our fields are generated now. Our fields don't come from a place of hollowed out spheres of oneness, but rather they are now intentionally created by our own harmonic sensing. This means we sense our available light forms now and open them up accordingly. This is how we will eventually realize our oneness fields. Now, how cool is that? Just another major advantage to what occurred. Now, and thank you, Jeff. I want to talk a little bit about how this radically changed the energies on the property as well. We immediately felt the difference, and I know I asked Jeff and James and Joseph, and they had felt the difference definitely. We all did. It was, in my opinion, markedly different. And so, at least James is getting more support on the ground and from underneath the ground to support him in holding down this Stargate and making sure that it's not used by dark forces. So again, I would highly recommend, if you want to help with the light and, you know, you're always wanting to know how, what do I do? Just put out intention with your heart that all negativity that's being beamed down to James be eliminated, be transmuted, and returned back to Father, Mother, God for a more positive, productive energy. That's my favorite line. Now, with that said, I had to get permission from James. But I have got to show you or share with you some pretty mind-blowing information. As many of you know, I have a new system that works off of DNA. And it will scan your DNA. And, you know, it'll come, depending on what we look for, it'll scan it according to disease, metals, elements, emotions, chakras, you know, whatever. Okay. So in the case of James, he gave me permission to do this, and I took this home and I did a scan, and I was seriously blown away. So I am going to just bear with me, because for those of you that aren't into this stuff, it's just still very mind-blowing. Take the time, if you want, to Google this. A lot of this information I got from Wikipedia and some other various sites like that when I went up there to see what exactly were they. But here we go. I want to give you an idea of what the military has been spraying on James. And he is definitely being targeted, okay? And they can do it frequently. So just remember that. So first of all, there are a slew of heavy metals, but they're like radioactive metals, okay? And they are readily oxidized in the air and water, which is basically very toxic to the body. So now, for all of you out there that are engineers or, you know, very up on this kind of stuff, forgive me, because I'm not super well versed in this type of information, but I'm just going to read basics of what I have found in my research. So the first one that came up for James was neptunium, which is a radioactive aconite metal. And it's used for nuclear reactors and plutonium products. So that was the first thing that came up for him. The next one is rubidium, which is a highly reactive metal, and it's also used for laser manipulation of atoms. Okay? It's rubidium, R-U-B-I-D-I-U-M. The next one is called masurium, M-A-S-U-R-I-U-M. This is a radioactive metal. It's used in tracers in medical applications. It inhibits corrosion in steel, but it's limited because of its radioactivity hazards. Okay. The next one is uranophane, which is a radioactive material. The next one is samarium, S-A-M-A-R-I-U-M. And China is the leader in mining this sort of element. It's used for cancer of the lungs with the drug lexidromin. Okay, so it's actually like part of a drug therapy for lung cancer. It's also a neutron absorber, and it's used for control rods of nuclear reactors, X-ray laser, and radioactive dating. So that was the next one that showed up. The next one is protactinium. Okay, this is a scarce, highly radioactive, and highly toxic element. It is extracted from, get this, spent nuclear fuel. Okay, spent nuclear fuel. Why would he have that? The next one is europium. This is one of the least abundant elements in the universe, it says. There is no specific or significant biological role for this. The next one is krypton. The role in high gas lasers. Krypton fluoride lasers are also used in lighting and photography. Next one is uranium. This is a unique nuclear property. It can be transmuted to fissile plutonium-239 in a nuclear reactor. It says it's important in nuclear technology. It's used for shading in photography. And it's also involved in the first nuclear weapon, for creating nuclear weaponry. The next one is strontium. We all have heard about this one. This one's actually pretty popular. It must be stored out of contact of air and water because it reacts vigorously. That was the word used, vigorously. It ignites spontaneously. It's very costly. It's used for pyrotechnics. It removes last traces of air in vacuum tubes. Think about that. It's used in TV screens, visual displays, and it's dangerously radioactive. It's a byproduct of nuclear reactors. Get this, byproduct of nuclear reactors. And it's used in space vehicles. Okay, we're still going, guys. This is all was found in James Gilliland's DNA. The zirconium, no known biological role, but it has a strong connection to corrosion. Next one is neodymium. Now, we've all heard of those magnets. It also is used in glass dyes. It's a reddish-purple color, and it has a high-strength magnetic rate. It's used in electric motors, generators, etc. Okay. Next one is iridium, which is used for solder, soft metal, and high vacuum seals. It's also anidium tin oxide coatings on glass. Okay. Another one, thorium. It's a weaker radioactive element, and it's used to extract rare earth metals. Okay, that's weird. Why would he have that in his DNA? Let me see. Next one is deadly argon rate. That came up. It just was reminding you that the cell phone towers give off a huge amount of deadly argon rate, and that organite eats deadly argon rate and converts it to positive argon rate. Now, his was like over the top, totally skyrocketed. Next one was neptuninium, okay, which comes from Neptune. Radioactive, dangerous to handle. still produced by neutron irradiation of uranium in nuclear reactors. And it's a byproduct, guys, again, of nuclear power reactors. Okay, so now that's just the elements that were found. Now, the other thing I found, which was very interesting, there were three types of plants that he was at such toxic levels that it was a real load on his system. The first one was belladonna, and when I looked it up, I did not see that it was indigenous to that part of the United States, okay? And it was at a very toxic level. When I ran that by him, he says, oh yeah, somebody told me that they take these herbs and they, you know, basically send like this really highly toxic energetic wave to the individual. I mean, I can't get over it. The next one is Morinda citrifolia, okay? And it's usually consumed by Southeast Asians and Aboriginal Australians, okay? And I don't know, that was extremely toxic levels. The next one was Cyanchum vincitoxicum, which typically comes, it's a plant that typically comes from Ontario, Michigan, and New York, but it was at super toxic levels. And here was another one, folinic acid. Get this, guys, cancer chemotherapy adjunct. Okay. I asked him, I said, have you taken any chemotherapy whatsoever? He says, absolutely not. I found a worm lizard. That was interesting. SARS. Xenotropic muriatic retrovirus. Okay. Which is related to chronic fatigue, prostate cancer. And anybody who researched this, apparently there were people that researched this and made a connection between XMRV and chronic fatigue, and they ended up disappearing. Okay, so you all know what that means. You had the tuberculosis vaccine. That was showing up. You had vasopressin, which, get this, it retains water in the body and constructs the blood vessels. It's an anti-diuretic hormone. But it was at extremely toxic levels. Now, you know, that could be the body reacting to literally a barrage of attacks on the part of the bioweaponry that they're using on him. And then there was another one, metoprolol, which is blurred vision. This causes blurred vision, chest pain, dizziness, irregular heartbeat, unusual tiredness, bloating, dilated neck veins, extreme fatigue, and bloody stools. Okay. I don't even know what to say. You know, I didn't expect to even run into this. Frankly, I just was offering to help him because he has been very, exhausted, obviously, for what he's going through. And the reason I'm sharing this with all of you guys is he needs help. Now, that doesn't mean you have to physically go there. We are so powerful. Remember the Guardian Grid. We are not participating in the existing, corrupt, overtaken grid. That is, like, in my opinion, old news, okay? This is the new grid. It's uncorruptible. And put your energy into that. And it can't be corrupted, by the way. So let's put our energy into building up the grid around that Stargate. Okay? It's really important. It's a huge point, like acupuncture point, so to speak, of the planet. And it's under fire big time. And this is a call to ask all of you to help Mother Earth and James, because he's really standing tall. He's really trying to hold the space for this because he's so dedicated to her as well as his light work. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you all and to let you know that these beings, which we call the Universal Brotherhood of Oneness, they assisted me in creating some magic and some miracles. And unbeknownst to me, out of the clear blue sky, I came home and literally within a couple of days, I had a new place to live. I think there's a whole bunch of you that have heard me say, I am so cramped where I live and I need a new place so badly. I didn't even have to like go out and search for it or anything. I literally feel like where I'm moving was made to order. It was totally a gift from heaven. Thank you. So anyway, I thought you guys would be interested in that. I hope that helps. I want to apologize for any delays in shipments that have occurred because of being out of town. Please bear with us. We are playing catch up and we still are, we're getting caught up though. Just a little bit, maybe like by the end of this week, we'll be good to go. So just be patient. Know that we accomplished some really awesome, powerful, planet-changing things over the course of the eSETI conference. And just know that we are here to serve all of you, as well as the light and the planet and the people. Now, I do want to also let you know that there are a lot of things percolating in the background. I think I've alluded to this many times. So stay tuned because there are so many cool things that are about to be discovered, uncovered, and shared with all of you. And we will definitely have some new game plans here shortly. I really look forward to meeting each and every one of you. It just was so cool to meet the people that showed up at the conference. It really brought me a lot of warm and fuzzy light and excitement. Had a great time. I just want to say thank you so much to James and Joseph and Ashley for all the hard work that they did. And I just really hope that I can speak again and really share the word and the message that I have regarding what I know was accomplished in South Africa. So with that said, I'm not sure who's up for next week because things have been absolutely crazy. I do want to thank the gentleman that sent in a list of all the people that he wants me to interview. I'm going to put it out there. If there is someone out there that would be willing to work with me to help me with my interviews, I'm just so overloaded. I really need some volunteers. If you are willing to help me with that, then we can talk about some exchanges and we'll go from there. Okay, you can drop an email to admin@galacticconnection.com. Okay, well, I will see you next Tuesday, same time, same place, same location, and sending all of you lots of love and mucho appreciation for who you are, for what you're doing, and the role you're playing in all of this transition. And get ready for next month because I think it's going to be a biggie. We saw some amazing UFOs. We saw some amazing photography when we were up there. I mean, seriously amazing ships and photography. And I think a lot of the people that have written in are continuing to tell me all the time, these new beings they've not had access to our planet. I don't think ever. There's a lot of them that have not, like, you know, you hear about the Sphere Alliance. There's just a lot of new beings that are coming forward and here to assist us. And it's just so exciting that we're so close to becoming more galactic and seeing more species and being able to sit at a bar and talk to a completely different galactic race. I mean, that would just be so cool for me. So anyway, talk to you guys soon. Lots of love. Don't forget to check out my archives. I also have transcripts. If you know anybody around the world that can't understand English, please know we have some phenomenal transcriptionists that are volunteering their time to make sure these radio shows are in English so that they can take them and convert them into their own language. We're almost caught up. We still have quite a few left, but we're almost caught up in transcribing all of my radio shows. So please pass that on. Don't forget to check out all of our products. We have a couple of new products coming out. I received an amazing transmission of a new essence. It's really, really cool. So that's coming up soon. All kinds of stuff. I can't even keep track of all my own stuff. But anyway, love you guys. Take care. Thanks for supporting me. Thanks for giving me reassurance, because I'm a lot of times behind the screen. I don't get to talk to you live. And just know it really goes a long way. So love you. Take care. And have a great rest of your afternoon. Bye.